Welcome. You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. May God help you to rightly understand and eternally benefit. By the way, if you are listening on an iPhone, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The theme for our sermon this day is fear, a main weapon of Satan. And our text around which we will build our talk is from Luke chapter 12, verse 32, where Jesus says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Well, I guess the text is very well relevant. We are a little flock here this afternoon. In the Old Testament, it's called a remnant. It's God's chosen people, those people of whom Paul spoke in Romans, that whom God chose, he got the whole rest of the job done to get them ready also for heaven. Now, since the first word of our theme is fear, we need to really define what that is. Fear is used in three different ways in the scriptures. First of all, it means to be afraid if you are in opposition to God. He can get even. He can dish out wrath and punishment. It's not that kind of fear that we're going to talk about today. A second kind of fear means to stand in awe of God, admiring his creation, being overwhelmed with the redemption that he gave us, sending his son to pour out his blood to wash away each and every stupid sin that we have done in our lifetime, whether intentional or unintentional, gone. In fact, his blood was so rich that it not only forgave all the sins from Jesus' time back to Adam and Eve in the garden, but it forgave every single sin of you and me before we even commit them. That is a committed God who loves us and cares for us. But it's not about that kind of fear that we're talking today. We want to talk about the fear of being afraid of Satan. Afraid of Satan. Why do you think angels, whenever they met human beings in the Bible, like Samson's parents, like Joseph or Mary, always said, "Fear not"? Because when you come into the presence of the holy, that is something to be very much afraid of if you come burdened down with a sinful nature. And why was it on the plains of Bethlehem on that first Christmas? "Fear not, for I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, even those at Bethlehem today, in Parma, Ohio." Well, we live in a time of fear, don't we? Everywhere you look, trying to scare us to death, a real ploy of the devil. It is one of his main weapons, to be sure. If he can get your mind off of God, who assures you that you have nothing to be afraid of because he is going to uphold you, well, if you can get your eyes off of that and get them onto him and his many minions that are out there on the airways in politics, then he's won a big battle, hasn't Satan? Well, today, and I want you to take your bulletins, please, I'm going to preach on a hymn that is not recorded on our organ, So afterwards, instead of singing it, we will be reciting it. But I'm going to go through it line by line. So please take those bulletins out, because it's probably a hymn that you're not very familiar with. It's from the old red hymnal, hymn 263, and it has three verses. Oh, it fits real nice with the sermon, because it starts out, "O little flock, fear not the foe." Huh, that sounds like our Bible passage, doesn't it? "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And what about this foe that we're not supposed to be afraid of, which we're very much afraid of? In fact, a lot of times we're more afraid of Satan than what we are of God, who could give us much more to worry about. It talks about this foe from hell as one who madly seeks your overthrow. Dread not his rage and power. That's the direction that is given by the hymn writer. And we should know something about that, because you see, it's all about kingdom, isn't it? The devil's kingdom, God's kingdom. What did you hear in the gospel reading today, which is also the text which we use for our Bible class at 3 o'clock? It's the kingdom of God is like unto, the kingdom of God is like this, the kingdom of God is like that. And four different times, Jesus uses that phrase, kingdom, reminding us that he's the king, not Satan. The kingdom that is everlasting is the kingdom of Jesus, not the kingdom of the United States, of Russia, of China. They are passing kingdoms. But Christ's kingdom endures forever. But you have to watch the old foe. He does truly madly seek your overthrow. That is given to us in Revelation chapter 12, when he cannot defeat the woman, the church, that has given birth to the Messiah. Then he stands on the seashore and it says the dragon was angry. He is out to get every single one of us and drag us down into hell along with him. Oh, and the hymn writer continues, "What though your courage sometimes fails?" Probably you should have said most often fails, right? Because we have to go to communion often, do we not, to have that faith strengthened? Because the most recent news report can just knock that faith down like, uh-oh. And then we have to be renewed and get going again. I like the word courage there. What though your courage sometimes faints, his seeming triumph over God's saints lasts but a little hour. Yep, what you think is so long. Oh no. COVID-19, 4 months, oh, when will it ever end? One little hour in history of the world. Reminds us of Jesus' words in the Garden of Gethsemane. You couldn't watch with me for one little hour? And what are we saying during the pandemic? No, I can't watch that long. I'm just so bored and it's just, I don't know what I'll do. Well, I know what we should do. How about a little courage? How about a little faith? Have you ever tied this in with King David? You know, David's the one who said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. They carry me through the crisis." Do you have any idea what David went through? He should have been the biggest scaredy cat of all time when you think about it. He had 400 men in his army, and that means probably 400 wives to go with him, and probably about 800 or 1200 children, and every day he had to feed them while he was running from King Saul. Where'd he get all the food? Well, he probably had a big network of people that he paid to raise crops, livestock. Then he had gave them protection, you know, much like the mafia and so forth. Oh, David was a man for all seasons. He was everywhere, fighting the Philistines, getting help over here, even finding opposition among his own Jewish people. Yet he could say, I fear not. I know you'll take care of me, Lord. And how many times his life almost came to an end, and yet he never gave up the faith. He hung in there. And you and I think we got it tough. Oh, I don't know if I can go on any longer. Man up, woman up, with faith in Jesus. You know what Luther said there in the great, a mighty fortress is our God. He's by our side upon the plain. He will not leave you. Don't depend on your daughter or your brother or your grandchildren to save you. And don't act like you have to live longer so you can save them. That is God's problem. Yours is to love them, to be sure. But it is to trust God to carry you through whatever situation the world will throw at you. And the devil is angry. He knows his time is short. And he wants to pull down as many as he can. But he's not going to get us, because Jesus will pull us through. Even when we falter at times, he strengthens our faith to bring us back. The second verse of the hymn goes on to say, be of good cheer. Wow, that sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. He said to the man on the stretcher who had the disease of polio or palsy. And then he got him up to walk. And the man had nothing to fear anymore. So it says, be of good cheer. Your cause belongs to him who can avenge your wrongs. The pandemic belongs to Jesus. Now, is he sending it to wake us up because our nation is just buried in sin, as we can see on television? Or does the cause belong to him because he avenges your wrongs by washing away your sins on the cross? Both of them are true. The hymn is loaded. It's not like these modern songs of the evangelical churches, what we call the 7-11 music, seven words repeated 11 times with no meaning. Our Lutheran hymns, each verse builds on the verse before it, so that when you walk out, you have substance to make it through life. When you say, oh, I just dread another week coming, Monday, I don't know. God says, let's get going. I'm on your side and I will carry you through. And so the hymn says here, leave it to him, our Lord. Wow, easier said than done, right? Oh, Lord, I trust you with my whole heart until about 9 o'clock this morning, and then I'm gonna reconsider the whole thing. So it says, leave it to him, our Lord, though hidden yet from mortal eyes. The reason we have trouble trusting Jesus is he's so invisible, right? Oh, Fauci and Bill Gates and his wife and their vaccine. Whoa, that is so visible. That's easier to trust in, right? Wrong. Jesus was here visible. You said it at the beginning of the service. He is risen. Now, do you believe it? He is risen physically indeed, or don't you believe it? And if he's risen, then he's sitting at the right hand of God in a position of power that he can take care of you and me, even though the world would like to bring you and me down. God will not let it happen. He is on our side. Oh, I love the next part, being an Old Testament person. The hymn writer puts us in, though hidden yet from mortal eyes, his Gideon shall for you arise, upholding you and his word. Of course, if you don't know the book of Judges, you'll never appreciate the term Gideon. Remember those great savior, human saviors in battle? Ehud, Gideon, Samson. You see, what was their purpose here on earth? Simply to paint a picture of the great coming Gideon, the great coming Samson, the great coming Ehud, namely Jesus Christ himself. And I don't know if you've ever noticed it or not, but in Ehud's story, Deborah and Barak, Gideon, they kill every enemy soldier in the battles that they fought. Now, have you ever heard of a war where every enemy soldier is killed? Never. Oh, I bet the Jews made that up, and it's just not true in the Bible. No, it is true, because you see, Jesus was going to be better than them on a spiritual level, and he would wipe out sin, death, and the power of the devil totally. He wasn't going to leave behind a little bit of the sin, a little bit of the power, a little bit of this with Satan and good wind. No, he, like Gideon and the others, on a physical level, Jesus on a spiritual level, wiped out every enemy that you and I have, and yet we spend half of our days creating new enemies so that we can be afraid and fearing. Now, how much sense does that make? If he is alive and he was able to destroy and descend into hell and announce his victory over all the hordes of hell, then you think he can't overcome government officials that have it out for you? I don't think so. He can do it because he is our God. I like that one hymn that we sing at funerals so often. I love that line. I need your presence every passing hour. What but your grace can foil the tempter's power? And that's you and me, right? We live under grace, under God's undeserved love. And as long as that's the umbrella over you and me, or should I use the get smart, the cone of silence coming down over us from God is his grace, that the devil cannot penetrate it. Don't open the door and invite Satan in order to give you fear. Listen to the angel. Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy. You see, our God is faithful, and he calls upon you and me to believe that, and that's called faith. We walk by faith and not by television, okay? It's not quite how the Bible says it, but you got the point, right? Third verse. As true as God's own word is true, wow, that's got to pick up from John, right? Thy word is true. Believe it. If he says it, he'll do it. Well, as true as God's own word is true, not earth nor hell with all their crew, that's the evil angels, against us shall prevail. Luther caught it right. In a mighty fortress, they shall not prevail against us. They won't win. And notice here, it says not earth or hell. You know, we have really fallen for that thing way back many, many decades ago, where they came on the comedy show, the devil made me do it. We like to blame everything on the devil, right? No, it says the devil, the world, and our own flesh are our enemies. Don't blame everything on Satan. We are our own problem. That's our flesh. And the world, that's all the influence all around. Bad government, bad advice, bad teaching in movies. And we've fallen for it, haven't we? And thinking, oh, if we just could get rid of the devil, we'd be in good shape. No, you wouldn't. You could take the devil out of the whole formula, and you still have an evil nature, and the world will still be evil around you. You need God. You need his protection. You need his assurance. You need his comfort. Look to him. Get your eyes off the things around you and look heavenly. What does it say in Philippians? Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are this, whatsoever things are that, think on these things, the things that are spiritual. And then it says, and this is a hard line, it says, a just and byword are they grown. I guess you would say it this way, that the devil, he's a joke, and he's got a familiar tactic, which we fall for, right? We listen to him, and he's so clever. Oh, if you eat from the tree, you will surely not die. Did you ever realize Satan was the first fake news reporter in the world? He gave the first news, 6 o'clock news, to Adam and Eve, you will not die. And that's why Jesus said he was a liar from the beginning. And yet we listen to all the liars out there and we gobble it up just like Adam and Eve did. People, we got to grow up. We got to put our faith totally in our God. He is our answer. There are no other answers except Jesus Christ. You need to work on that every minute of every day, because the minute you turn your eyes aside from that, the enemy will be getting in. And then the hymn closes this way. God is with us. We are his own. Our victory cannot fail. Wow, what a nice hymn. Positive, encouraging, not demeaning. Like we have all around us bad news, negative, and we get pulled down by it because we don't stay with our positive God who knows all things. Remember what was read in the epistle lesson today. If God be for us, who can be against us? And did you notice the hymn, what it said there? God is with us. Just take out the word is. God with us. That's the word Emmanuel. Isn't that what the prophet said in Isaiah 7:14? And his name shall be called Emmanuel. God with us. He's with you and me. He's with every one of our members at Bethlehem. Do you want him or do you want the world? That's decision time. Once you're a Christian, you have power to make decision by the power of the Holy Spirit, but the devil wants to get in there and help you make the wrong decision. So why don't you make the decision this week to be totally positive that God can take care of you without you taking care of yourself as primary. Oh yes, we're supposed to be wise. Use common sense to be sure, but God is still behind that. And you know, that's the problem with common sense, isn't it? What did Mark Twain say? Common sense is not so common. What do we always say? You can't teach common sense to a person, but you can teach spirituality through the hearing of God's holy word. And so what do we close with? How about the positive verse that we have today? Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure. He's happy to do it, to give you the kingdom. Live in the kingdom, live for the kingdom. trust your God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as I told you before the sermon, we do not have music in our organ that goes along with this hymn verse, so we're going to recite the three verses as they are here as a reinforcement that our God is with us. Together, oh little flock, fear not the foe who madly seeks your overthrow. Dread not his rage and power, what though your courage sometimes faints, his seeming triumph o'er God's saints lasts but a little hour. Be of good cheer, your cause belongs to him who can avenge your wrongs. Leave it to him, our Lord. Though hidden yet from mortal eyes, his Gideon shall for you arise, uphold you and his word. As true as God's own word is true, not earth nor hell with all their crew against us shall prevail. A just and byword are they grown. God is with us, we are his own. Our victory cannot fail. Now may the peace of our Lord God be with you all. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you have a Bible question, contact me, Robert Green, through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church home, see our website and attend with us. Now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.